Hello, West Liberty. You're listening to WGOZ College Radio, where we are passionate vocal. Hey, folks, how's it going? It's Taylor yet again, and it's time for another interview. Now, what the heck is this interview about? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's my fourth and final interview for radio, and I'm thankful for that because I hate radio sometimes. Anyways, so here today I'm interviewing Sam Yoho from St. Mary's. He has graduated from St. Mary's High School, and he did go to college, but only just took journalism and speech classes at Parkersburg Community College, and he has worked with radio for about 47 years now. So, how you doing today?
I am doing okay. How are you, Taylor?
Doing just fine. It's a little dreary out, but, you know, that's okay.
Very dreary.
Oh, yes. So, let's start it off with this. When you were younger, did you always listen to a radio, or did you have a way to listen to the radio?
Yeah, I listened to radio really from the time probably fifth grade, start getting into it. It would have been about 1965. A lot of the contemporary radio, music radio, was really good at the time, I thought. It was a lot of your British Invasion stuff, your Southern California stuff, you know, the Beach Boys and your Motown and all this stuff. So music was really, really strong. Contemporary music was really strong. Never got into country. But I've worked country radio. I've been on the air on country radio stations in different markets. But I liked it growing up. I liked contemporary music. So that's what kind of got me interested. And I also liked the technical end of it, too. I liked the transmitters, and I liked all the – and I listened to the announcers, and I liked all the format. Even the early days, I liked a lot of stuff. But I really didn't think I was going to get on a radio till probably the end of my junior year. Because I thought, hey, I'm listening to some of these guys on the air. I'm thinking, hey, if they can do that, I can do that. And I got really interested in wanting to finally be on the air. And this would have been, you know, early 1972.
Okay, so you were a teenager when you started out.
Yeah, 16.
You were about 16? Okay, so where did you officially start out at?
Well, I, first of all, I seeked out just radio in general. And believe it or not, I actually I went for jobs in a couple of stations before I got on the station that I did. I interviewed for, interestingly enough, you're from New Martinsville. Mm-hmm. I interviewed with Harry Bright at WETZ in New Martinsville. He owned the station at the time. And he did not hire me because at the time I had not taken my test yet for FCC license. And, of course, you have to have an FCC license in order to broadcast. And the reason you do, because they want you to have the rules and regs down and also the technical end of it, you had to have a license that showed that you could pass that test with the FCC. Actually, you take a test in somebody's federal building either, you know, to get the test and pass it. So I did. So I hadn't had that yet. So Harry said, come back when you do. I said, okay. Well, meanwhile, I took my test. I passed it. And I went and applied for a station in Marietta, but they didn't have any openings. So I applied at the station I really wanted to work at anyway, which was WPAR in Parkersburg. They were the number one top 40 radio station in Parkersburg, Marietta. I thought, oh, if I can get on here. Well, it just so happens that some people were leaving. They needed part-timers because the part-timers were going to become the full-timers. Yes. I thought, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. And me and another guy both had our license, and they allowed us to do a little air check overnight type thing. And so I recorded it. The program director listened to it. He liked it enough. I'm sure it wasn't great by any stretch. But anyway, he liked it enough that he put me on, started me on weekends. Sunday afternoon, 3 to midnight, first shift on that radio station. But it was the number one radio station. It was number one contemporary. So I was able to play All the Blood, Sweat, and Tears and $3 Night and Pink Floyd and, you know, everything I wanted in 1972, you know. So, and there again, music was great, contemporary music. So it really worked out for me that I got that first job, August of 72, part-time. And, of course, I went all through high school just part-time because I couldn't work full-time. I was in school. Yeah. So I didn't really go full-time until summer of 73. The night I graduated from high school, I went on the air that night, and I've been in full-time radio ever since.
That was quite amazing. So you said that the technical side and all that type of stuff got you fully interested. Is there, like, what's your favorite thing about radio entirely? Is it the technical side, or is it just...
That's a good question. Boy, I'll tell you, it's close. I still love music. I think I mentioned off air that I was in Allstate chorus in high school and participating in music pretty heavily, sports too. So I liked a lot of aspects of radio because radio gave me an opportunity to play music, sports, play-by-play, but also worked with advertising, which was sales, and of course the technical end of it, transmitter, AM, FM. As a matter of fact, currently, I mentioned we just bought this radio station in Parkersburg, WVAM. Well, we're building an AM tower, a new AM tower. Well, I'm just in love with that, that I'm able to be a part of that whole project. So, yeah, it's the whole thing. Radio, because it encompasses all these things, entertainment, news. I did news a little bit, just a little bit of everything. But I really liked everything about the broadcast because it really does give you an opportunity. Of course, being an ownership, I have to oversee all of this now. But even overseeing it, I still keep my hand. I do Coach's Corner interviews. I do commercials. I do remote broadcast at different, stores and locations. I still do some of these things because I enjoy it. And frankly, I can just assign myself to do it, and guess what? I do it.
Oh, jeez. So, what was your favorite type of? What's your favorite type of music to listen to nowadays? From, well, let's see, what's different from back then to today, like listening wise?
Another really good question. Music has changed a lot. I remember top 40 radio really stayed about the same through the 60s, 70s, into the mid-80s. It was really pretty much what we call Tin Pan Alley stuff. It started really changing. Top 40 radio, or what we ended up calling contemporary hit radio, or CHR, changed from 1986, 87. You got into the hip-hop. You got into the rap. Came over from urban into mainstream top 40. Okay? I wasn't a big fan of it.
Yeah.
And CHR today is not nearly as mass appeal as it was back then because it's separated out audience a little more because of that. The music I grew up with is a little more mainstream, wider, broad-based demographic, age group, where now it's a little more narrow cast. And I think hip-hop and rap probably helped that along a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Country, same thing happened in country. A lot of the country got away from a lot of the twang and all of the, the traditional Nashville stuff and became more rocky, became more contemporary. And so that's what country is today. My goodness, there's women who can't even get any on the charts. There's only about half a dozen women can get on the charts of country. It's all men.
Yeah, basically.
It's all, because that's just the way the music kind of sweeps. So those changes have taken place.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably the two, I think, main. That and instruments are not played as much as more electronic.
Yeah. All right, folks, so we're going to take a small break here. We'll be right back after these messages.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay, you're on.
Howdy, all folks. Welcome back. I am here interviewing Sam Yoho from St. Mary's, and we just talked about how he grew up with radio and how he basically started in high school at the age of 16, correct?
Mm-hmm.
As a part-time radio personality, started late at night and all that type of stuff, so.
Late at night and weekends.
Yep.
That's where we all start.
Yep, and also we talked about how the music has changed over the years from just being, for example, all being instrumental to now electronic and all that type of stuff, and how the music has changed people as well. So you said that you just recently bought a radio station. How many radio stations do you specifically own?
I actually own four formats. I own WRRR in St. Mary's. It's on 93.9 FM. It's a 25,000 watt. And power does make a difference. New Martinsville, WXCR, 92.3, it's classic rock, 6-kilowatt station, 6,000-watt station.
Mm-hmm.
Parkersburg, WVVV, V96.9, 96.9 on the dial. Adult Contemporary, 6,000-watt. We just purchased a station. It's an AM on 1450 and an FM on 98.1, and we have a translator with 107.9. And we went oldies on that. That just was this past August. We also We program oldies on that. We also have Big Red, Parkersburg High School, Big Red football and basketball. Sports is a big part of the formats we do, too. So it's the music I mentioned, adult contemporary, is just that. I mean, it's everything from Celine Dion to, Bruno Mars. I mean, you get the idea. Yeah. Kind of the softer edge of CHR, Top 40. Right. That's what we play on AC. And classic rock is everything from the Beatles, Stones, Pink Floyd, Tom Petty. I mean, just, you know, it's kind of like that whole genre with what would be traditional album-oriented rock, except it's a little older, which became classic rock.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much. And you were mentioning the music, how it changed. Music was much more mass appeal when I grew up. You had, to give you an idea, I'll give you just everything. Three Dog Night, Chicago, Beatles, Rolling Stones, all kinds of, you know, what female artists like Helen Reddy, who just passed away, just very, very Carpenters, very David Gates and Bread. I mean, that was kind of the lighter side of the stage. It was much more mass appeal. You had rock. You would play the Edgar Winter Group beside the Carpenters. You'd play Tony Orlando and Dawn beside Pink Floyd. And it was all accepted on Top 40 radio.
Yeah.
And so that was a little, where now it's just not that way. It's more narrowcast now.
Yeah, completely understandable. As I grew up from the 2000s, it's how music changed as well from the, I don't know how to really say it because I can't really say it.
Well, something else too. Yeah. Also, we're in a small market radio up and down the Ohio Valley here. And so there are several different ways to make money. It's very important. I know you'll get to the advertising part of it, but very important because it funds the radio station. Without advertising, these radio stations are not on the air.
Yeah.
They're done. Transmitters are off. That's it. And we do a lot of sports on our radio stations, and that's a big part of the moneymaker. We do Coach for Kids. We do a lot of other things that help us not only make money, but also really aim toward our audience. And in case for Coats for Kids, it's an advertising package, but it's also that money goes back into distributing the coats, cleaning the coats, and distributing the coats, and getting the coats out to different places, you know, schools and Goodwill and churches and all these things, you know. So radio can do a lot of different things, you know, that you can fund a lot of different things with it. Basically, radio is there to it's the cliche, but it's true. It's to inform and it's to entertain.
Yes.
And you need to do both to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I had to do for my show as well. So we're going to step back a little bit from the music. So this is just more of just a random question. Did you ever have stage fright in the beginnings of doing your radio shows?
One thing that helped me when I first, like, that little audition overnight, I was not all that nervous because, remember, you're in a studio. You're really by yourself. You don't see the audience. You might envision who the audience is, male, female, young, old, whatever. But it's not so much nervous in the studio as you would be if you're on a remote broadcast where there's a crowd around you. When there's a crowd involved, that's where the nervousness, where you're actually, oh, I'm really publicly speaking. Even though you know doggone well there's people out there listening to the radio, because if you either grew up on that radio station, you know there's people listening. But it's different. It's a different kind of public speaking, radio. And television, I've done, you know, a little bit of stuff with TV up in Pittsburgh, and when I did Pittsburgh radio. And for instance, I was at WQED, Channel 13. We used to do a thing called the Great TV Auction. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it funded public television in Pittsburgh. Funded Mr. Rogers, because that's who originated Channel 13 in Pittsburgh, Mr. Yep. Rogers. And at the time, Andre Previn was the lead conductor of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, Previn and the Pittsburgh. And all. It funded all of those things. Mm-hmm. I'm on there. I've got a producer. I'm in the green room. They gave me makeup, all this television stuff that I'm not, you know, yeah. wasn't. But they'd hang a microphone. They'd give me a little, you know, little area where I hawked all the, you know, goods and everything. But I remember not being really nervous because I didn't see everybody that was out there. So no, stage fright was not as big a deal unless I was actually maybe in a remote broadcast or public speaking. Then it was a little different because most people in this business, including myself, were introverts. I don't know why broadcasters are introverts, but most of them are. We're kind of basically shy people. But for some reason, you know, we get in front of a microphone, and because there's, in many cases, because there's not a lot of people out there. So it's part of it, you know. So good question. Yeah, when I'm publicly, I get nervous.
To be honest, I was kind of scared to call you because I was like, oh, boy, I don't know. Should I do this or should I do this not? Should I just let my grade drop, you know, that type of stuff? Geez. So we're going to wrap this up here real quick with a final question. This is for anybody else who wants to do radio. Do you have any suggestions or ideas to give out to those who want to do radio?
Well, you don't have an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Pick your passion. If you like sports, do it. If you like music, do it. You know, if you like DJing, do it. Whatever really, and you'll probably morph into what you think you'll do, you know, the best. But you really do have to have a passion for it to move forward, to be good at it, I think. You do have to have some talent. You do have to have a voice, I think. Now, there's a lot of bad voices out there, I guess, but I think you do have to have a reasonable voice. You have to have good diction, good articulation. I think if you're going to be in television, you have to look good. I don't know, there's no bad doubt about it. You have to look good, and you have to speak well. In radio, you got to speak well. You might not have to look good, but you got to speak well. And I'll tell you something else, too. Learn to write. Learn to express yourself. You know, something else that's interesting. When you're speaking on the air, I don't care if it's television or radio, slow down. Let the words sink in to the general public. I think that's very important. You know who gave me that advice was Paul Harvey. Now, most of your audience is not going to know Paul Harvey, but your professor will know Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
And I met him, and that's some advice he gave me, and some other people did too. But, you know, he was good about pausing. He was good about letting the thought sink in. Also, writing was very important. He was able to write. And I think that is important to be able to put down in words. You know, we're talking about podcasting. Podcasting is another one. Really develop your personality through podcasts. It works.
Yeah.
But try to get on the air. Actually try to get on the air. If it's a non-commercial station, commercial station, you know. And also one other thing. Realize that if you're on a commercial broadcast station, TV or radio, it's there to make money. So, and remember to market yourself in the strongest possible way. Because they're looking for strengths, and they're looking for talent, and they're looking for ways that they can make money with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so you have to be strong in your personality in everything you do.
All right. Thank you very much, Sam. Yoho. Anyways, folks, that's the end of this interview. Thank you for joining in on this. I hope you have a wonderful break, folks. Would you like to say anything else, by the way?
Hey, take care and good luck. God bless.
Thank you very much. That's the end of it, folks. See you next time.